are once again. I'm Apostle Coletta Jones, pastor of the Rock Christian Church Ministries, and I'm here today to continue the lessons that we have been doing over these few weeks. One thing I do, I thank God for this opportunity that I have to be able for you to allow me to come into your homes, to be able to teach God's word so that after we come from where we are, we will have a stronger relationship with God. The most important thing is that God wants you and I to make a commitment to Him and to really allow Him to become the Lord of our lives, not just my Savior. There's a difference between Savior and Lord. A Savior is someone I call upon when I need something done immediately. I get into a difficult situation. Something happens in my home. My children get sick. Or as we have been in these last few weeks where we've had co-workers and family members who have been touched by this coronavirus. And as a result, we have prayed more. We have sought God more. But God does not just want to be our Savior. He doesn't want to be that individual that we come to just when I need Him or I need Him to get me out of a fix. He wants to be the Lord of our lives. A few weeks ago, we did a lesson about salvation and how we get into the kingdom. Today, we just want to take that and work with it just a little further in order for us to realize that coming into the kingdom doesn't just mean I pray the sinner's prayer and then I get up from where I am and I resume life as it has been. There is a transition or a transformation that is to take place in our lives. And I think what has happened many times over the years, we go to church and we hear the messages and we are blessed at the time of the message. But when I leave there, I'm not able to even remember what the message was about, or I don't have the skill or the know-how to apply the word of God to my life. In some instances, I have not even been told that there is a process. It has not even been explained to me that God wants more from me than to just unite with a church. That the Bible speaks of the body of Christ being the church, being the light of the world, being example. And so when I don't know what is required of me, when I don't understand what God is saying in the scripture, or I argue back and forth about trivial things without knowing the in-depthness that the word is trying to get me to, I stumble through this Christian life. I never become all that God intends for me to do. I never realize that my salvation, there's a God part to it, and then there's a my part to it. And when I don't understand how these two things fit, then I'm always walking this walk in defeat, or I'm always calling on God after the fact. What we want to do for these next couple of messages is to lay out to you, what is God's part? When I become a child of God, does God take responsibility for that? Or do I continue my life as I've always done? And then what is my part? I'm looking for God to do it all. Is there a part for God? Does God take a part in it? And so I'm hoping that through these messages, you will understand that there is a life that God has already ordained for you and I to live. Jeremiah 29:11 said, I know the plans I have for you. God has already purposed out your life. He already has a plan for you. And His plan is to prosper us and not to harm us. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Sometimes we think, well, I join a church and I'm going to automatically become this new person. My life is automatically going to get in place. Now think about it. Here you are. You've been in the world. You've been living your life, not submitting to anyone. Whatever you felt like doing, you got up and did. You get up one Sunday. You go to church. You hear the word of God. You get up, come to Christ. You acknowledge him as your savior. You do exactly what the preacher tell you, and then in the next couple of weeks you're not that perfect person and you don't understand what the gap is. What my job is as a teacher and as a minister of the gospel is to rightly divide the word of God, is to put the word so plainly so that you won't err, that you will understand that, yes, it's okay to go to church and feel good and get happy and sing and clap. It's wonderful to do all those things. But God wants to become the Lord of my life. He wants to be my instructor. He wants me to know what to do when I walk into temptation. He wants me to understand what to do when I feel overwhelmed or I feel depressed or I even feel like he's not answering my prayers. He wants me to understand what this walk is all about. Then he says in Romans, how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? And so my job is to lay it out for you, to make it plain to you so that you understand what God is expecting of us as his people. So today we want to talk about God's part in the change that he wants to take place. So let's go back to Romans. Romans 10, 9 and 10, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, and it says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognize his power, authority, and majesty as God. Understand, why is it that we acknowledge Jesus? Why is it that as a Christian, it is important that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came here for a purpose? He came to lay out the pathway that you and I might receive salvation. And then it says, and believe in your heart. So I've got to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Why is that relevant? Because I'm not able to meet him. I wasn't here 2,000 years ago. I am strictly believing what has been written in the Word of God. And I'm taking it to heart. So I believe there was a Jesus. I believe he was the Son of God. I believe he was born in Bethlehem. I believe who his parents were. I believe at 12 years old, he said it was time for him to go about his father's business. I believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that his purpose was for coming to the earth was so that he could unite us back to God. And then it says, for with the heart, a person believes in Christ as Savior. With my heart, I believe that Jesus had a purpose for coming. I believe that he was the Son of God. I believe he was the sacrifice that was needed to mend back what Adam had done. And then he says here, resulting in his justification, that is, being made righteous, being free of the guilt of sin, and made acceptable to God. When Christ came, he set in place that I could come to God for myself, that I could go and pray to God. I did not need a mediator. I did not need that person to go between me and God. I could go to God directly for myself. That's the reason Jesus came, to mend what was broken. Then he says here, if I acknowledge and confess his faith openly, resulting in and affirming his salvation. So I said, I believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I come in through this portal that's been set here in Romans. I confess that he is the Son of God. I confess that Jesus was in fact God's son. He died. He rose for me. The Bible says through that belief, I receive salvation. Now, what is salvation? Salvation is being free from. It's being delivered from. It's being rescued from. Some of us, when he came and got us, our lives were just totally messed up. And what salvation did, it brought us to peace. It gave us the assurance that Christ was with us, that we would make it, that everything would be okay. Just like he's doing now. All of these messages, be they come from me or others, is to instill within you the confidence that even during this time, even during a time of uncertainty, where there's chaos everywhere, God wants us to know that he is forever with us and that we can come to him and pray. So I want to talk about what God does. How does God bring me closer? How do I get to know him better? The first tool that God uses is the word of God. That's the first tool. It's like me wanting to be a pastor. The Bible is my tool. It's what I use. I can't go out and get a tool to fix my car because that's not what I need. So if I don't have the proper tool, I can't get done what I need to have done. It's so important that you learn to pick this Bible up for yourself. God uses his word. You know, people say, well, it was written by man. It was written by white man, black man. It was, I don't believe it. It's false. It's prejudice. We have all kinds of reasons for not believing it. But one thing the Lord spoke to me, and it's so relevant. He says, when you and I and our children go to school, and we're given a book about a topic, whoever wrote that book wrote it out of knowledge. What sometimes it was their experience, sometimes it was just the fact that they researched. Whatever it was, they had to spend some time in coming up with the written. And when we buy the book or are given the book to read, we never question the author. We believe that whatever is written in there is a fact. So if you are an individual and you're learning how to fix cars and you're in school, you're given a book, it's breaking down different parts of the car. You never question the author. You believe that whatever is written in that book is in fact true. And later on in life, whatever your job may be, the points that you received out of the book is what's going to guide you as you begin to walk into whatever profession you chose. That's the same way with God's Bible. His word is here to guide you and I in every area of our lives, be our marriage, be even now in our confusion, even now in our fear. Even now in our uncertainty, thank God. Even now when we don't know what tomorrow holds, this word, if you will spend the time, it takes time. It can't always be done in a hurry. I can't always depend on somebody else to do it for me. There are times when I have to do it for myself. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 7 tells us the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point. Listen, this word, when I get into this word, it guides me as to what is right, and it also reveals to me what is wrong. It is the word that causes me to understand that even during this time of much negative and things that we look at. And we had problems before we entered into this time. And here we are faced with additional problems. And we don't know about what's going to happen tomorrow. It's the Word of God that's going to give you and I comfort. The Word teaches you what is true. I believe this Bible is true. I believe it works. How can you believe so strongly that it works? Listen here. Anytime you try it, you see, nothing is sure until I try it. Someone else can talk to me about what may happen to them. But until I personally try it for myself, I'm only going on he say. And many times people get up and they give you their testimony and they tell you what God did, how God brought them out. But you will never know the power of that same word until you try it. So it teaches me what is true. I've got to believe that this word is true. I've got to believe that what he says is true is in fact true. Then it makes me realize what is wrong in our lives. You know, when he says, I don't have the right to hate anyone. When he tells me to love my enemies, love those who do wrong against me, those who take advantage of me. I will not know the power of doing that until he points it out in my life. And let me tell you something. This Bible gets into your very business. It doesn't get into some of it. It gets into all of it. It talks about your attitude. Talks about how you talk. Talks about your marriage. It gets into your money. It gets into your how you speak to your children and how you raise your children. How you react to your wife. How you react to your husband. How we treat each other. How we are to go out of our way to be there for each other. It deals with everything. And because we don't pick it up for ourselves, because I don't, it's just too hard. That will always be the reason. You know, even during this time, I'm thinking about, as an example, there were many things that I would go on my phone and pull up the app. And when I would try to work the numbers or work whatever was I needed to do in order to get that app on my phone to work. If it didn't work, because I knew I could just pick up the phone and call them, it didn't matter to me whether it worked or not. And sometimes I said, oh, I'll do it later. And so I just would close out the app. I wouldn't even do it. But during this time, when you don't have the flexibility of picking up the phone and calling, what has happened is it has forced me to do some things I normally would not do. I remember even a couple of months ago, I said I would never order food. I wasn't at that age yet where I wanted to order food. But even during this time, I've had to order food and do some shopping online, which caused me to be aware of another way that I could do things and another way of presenting things to me. That's God's word. Every day, you and I get up. Every day, we have challenges. Every day, something comes up. Even if you're not going out of the house, but you're turning on that television set and you're listening to what's going on, it brings challenges. It brings challenges of compassion, or it brings challenges of confusion. And then I need that word to bring peace, or to give me resolve, or to give me hope, or to tell me it's going to be all right. And so not only does that word gets in me and allows me to know what is true, but it also helps me to know what's wrong. Then it straightens us out. It don't just tell me I'm wrong and leave it. No, it gives me what I need in order that I may do contrary to what I want to do. So it straightens me out. It helps me to know, okay, as a Christian, this is where you're supposed to be acting. All right, you lost your temper. You cussed somebody out. You got to repent for that. Then he said, turn. Then he said, whatever comes out of your mouth, let it be uplifting. Let it be encouraging. So he gives me how to do the opposite. how to do what God wants me to do rather than to continue to do what I want to do. So it straightens me out. And then the last one, it helps me to do what is right. He tells you what to do when you can't know what to do, when you don't know what to do. He says, pray first, acknowledge me, come to me. I'll direct you. I'll give you instruction. You know, sometimes even as children of God, you are upset with somebody. And this little voice you hear in your head says, go over there and speak to them and start talking to them. And you sit there arguing with yourself. And then you know what you say? Something spoke to me. It was that word. It was the word of God giving you instruction how to amend, how to bring peace where there's confusion, how to move out hatred and allow his love to come in. So if you and I are serious about changing our life, you're going to have to get into the Bible. So you need to read it. You got to read it. And you just can't get up and say, I read this verse today. And by 12 o'clock, you've forgotten it. You've got to apply it. So I got to study it. I got to get it in my head. Three, I've got to memorize it so it can come back to me. You know, the Holy Spirit said, I'll bring all things to your remembrance. Well, guess what? He can't bring what ain't there. To remember something means you have had exposure to it. So in order for me to remember it, I don't remember what I haven't been exposed. Sometimes it might not be read. It might be what the minister preached or you heard a testimony. So I've got to spend the time memorizing it. And very important at this time, he wants us to meditate on it. He told us to meditate on his word day and night. Don't fill your mind with a lot of negative. Focus on uplifting. Focus on God's word that said, I'll never be with you, leave you. I'll be with you always, even until the end. Focus that word when you're in the house by yourself, that he says, I'm there with you. Then he says, if you pray to me, I'll hear you. You got to focus on God's word. And the last but most important, you have to apply it. So it's no sense in memorizing it. It's no sense in telling other folk about it or reading it if I'm not going to abide by it myself. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's in Romans 10:17. So even in hearing it, you're only going to get a little bit out of the message. But I encourage people, take notes. You're going to forget it. But sooner or later, faith comes by hearing. How do I get faith? God, I want to have more faith in you. I want to believe you. Then you need to be in a position where you're hearing the word of God. The second thing God uses is his spirit to change me. This is what God does. His Holy Spirit. When we commit ourselves to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. Why is it there? You know, when I was a young girl growing up and our church was charismatic, you know, when people said they had the Holy Ghost, they acted a certain way. They felt like it was the outwardness more than it was the inwardness. They didn't even explain it to me. If you knelt down and prayed and spoke in tongues and got up and spoke in tongues and said you had it. And they would sometimes say you had it. They would say, oh, you got it now because they say you spoke in tongues. Or if you acted a certain way or dressed a certain way or carried yourself as pious and always when you were around the people of God, you acted a certain way and spoke a certain way. How are you today? Blessed and highly favored. You thought all those things really made you seem as if you was full of the Holy Ghost. But Romans 8:9-11, listen to this. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. The Spirit of God gives us new strength and vitality and the desire and power to do what is right. It's that thing that helps me. It's that thing that nudges me to forgive someone. It's that thing that causes me to have compassion. It's that thing that causes me to not be judgmental, to not stand over people and lord over them, but to be able to understand. Because let me tell you something, Jesus was always, always moved by compassion. He always could look at someone else, even though he had not sinned, even though he was the very Son of God. He looked at someone, and from just looking at them and their circumstances and knowing the whole picture. You know, how many times have we judged someone? How many times have we looked at someone and judged them based on our own mentality? No information, not knowing what a person has been through, not knowing how their life has been. I just see you now, and immediately I think within myself, you could just do better. But if you knew what all that person had experienced, then you would have a different focus on the individual. And that's what Jesus was. He hadn't done the sin himself, but he knew the circumstance. He knew the whole truth, not just the truth presented. He knew that part that was in them so deeply, that part, that hurt, that cruelty that had been shown to them, that it caused him to latch out with more love, to latch out with more concern, to latch out with more understanding, because that's the reason that he came. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make the child of God more like the Son of God. Let me say that again. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God. He brings it back to your remembrance. Or he'll cause you to go into the Word and pick up your Bible and immediately go to a scripture. This is not, serving God is not hocus pocus. It's not just for those that are really, really holy. So we think. It is a life of learning, of applying, and of seeing results. It is breaking those curses that have come through our families, those curses that we feel within ourselves, that this is the only way I can come up. It causes us to see life from a different perspective. And so the Spirit of God, he uses his Word to make the child of God more like the Son of God. So what is Jesus like? His life on earth embodied the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. We talked about some of it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so when I find myself loving people that I hated or never wanted to be around, find myself being able to forgive people that I never thought I would be able to do. Never in my wildest did I think I'd be able to forgive this individual for the pain that they've caused me. Having love and being gentle and patient and kind, those things, because I'm a child of God and the Spirit of God lives in me, those things are in me. So every person can examine yourself. Is it in me? It comes out by what you do, how you do, and who you do it to. So we've talked about God uses his Word. Then the third one, He uses circumstances. And that's where we are right now. We're supposed to, as his children, when we come out of this situation, we're supposed to be better than when we went in. I pray you have not used all of these weeks being in the house doing nothing but complaining. I pray that you've done nothing but worry about your physical or worry about your monetary. I pray that during this time, if you're looking at me, you haven't been sick. You're not counted among the millions of people that have been touched, or you have been touched. You have had the virus, but you are yet living. I pray today that those circumstances have caused you to take a deeper walk, a deeper step, a more realistic attitude about how blessed you really are. God's ideal way of changing us is to have us read the Bible to find out how we should live, and then depend on His Spirit to enable us to do it. He says in His Word, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. That's in Romans 8:28. In all things. He didn't say I was going to like all things. He didn't say all things was going to make me feel good. He didn't say all things was going to make me jump up and shout. But He said, while you're in it, give thanks. Because somebody somewhere is having it worse than you. Somebody somewhere is wondering, are they going crazy? Somebody somewhere is about to lose their mind. And yet, here we are as His people. If we would only just give Him praise, if we would only think about, I'm blessed, God, I'm so blessed to be in the land of the living. Over 60,000 people have died, and yet you have kept me. Nothing I've done. I mean, we can't say, well, those old folks were sinners. No, we don't know their spiritual condition. But the only thing you can say is, I thank God for keeping me. I'm grateful that I'm alive. I'm thankful that in these weeks of being here, I've done some inventory inside. I didn't have a choir. I didn't have nobody to make me happy. I couldn't get up and say, preach, preacher. I had to really sit and do self-evaluation. I had to do some praying. I had to really come to grips with my own walk with God. I didn't have anybody around me I could blame. I didn't have anybody around me I could point fingers to. I had to come to realize that even at losing my job, even at uncertainty of how I'm going to make it during these weeks, in spite of everything, guess what? I'm making it. So I can't be stubborn. We don't change that easily. So God brings the third two, which is our circumstances, problems, pressures, headaches, difficulties, and stress always gets our attention. Romans 8:28-29, I quoted it, but I give it to you. To those who love God, who are called according to His plan, everything that happens fits into a pattern of good. God chose them to bear the family likeness of His Son. The Bible said He came unto His own, they didn't receive Him. He was rejected. He was despised. But all of that was to show you and I, you're not going to live in this life. You're not going to live on this earth and not have some things come against you. And never in our lifetime have we experienced what we're experiencing right now. But I'm saying to you, God's trying to get your attention. Even if you've been an individual and you have not surrendered your life to God, if you are yet living, if you are yet without having contact of this virus, you should in no way be anything but grateful. And yet God wants you to understand, I want you to come out of this better. I want you to come out of this allowing me, not the church building, allowing me to become your Savior and then I want you to connect so I can be your Lord. Nothing can come into the life of a believer without God's permission. It must be Father filtered. The interesting thing about how God uses circumstances is that the sources of our circumstances makes no difference to Him. We often bring problems on ourselves, complaining, high blood pressure, not sleeping at night. That's bringing in, listen here, every day God has fed you. Every day He's watched over you. Every day. If we've been in the house 6 weeks, look at what has transpired in 6 weeks. And even you that don't know how you're going to make it, even you that have been down, that haven't had, God said, in spite of everything you haven't had, I dare you to look at what you have had. I dare you, in all of your disappointments, look at things that have blessed you. Look at ways I have caused you to be provided for. Because I'm using these times and these circumstances. I'm calling my people to become even more dedicated, surrendered to me. I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm not talking about what ministry you worked on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a people that will come to me and understand that in every circumstances, I am still God. I'm in control. This is no shock to me. I'm in control, and I know how to bring you out. God says that He's the source of our circumstances. Sometimes we cause it. Sometimes our surroundings cause it. Sometimes the devil calls it. Everything is not based on the devil. There have been decisions and choices that you and I have made that got us in a fix. But thank God, even in our bad choosing and our bad selections, God has brought us out. God says, I'm the source of the circumstances, because God will still use your life in order for you and I to fit His greater plan for our lives. He has a plan for our lives. He knew about this day. He knew about this happening. It didn't just sneak up on Him. It snuck up on us, but it didn't sneak up on Him. So there are absolutely no circumstances in life for which we cannot learn if we will just have the right attitude. Proverbs 20:30 says, blows and wounds scrubs evil, and beatings purge the inmost being. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. That's what I'm praying. I've got members I haven't seen for a long time, and I'm sure many churches. Don't be one of those that the moment that we're allowed to come out, you run the church for the first 2 weeks. You've been in the house for all this time. You've had people touched. You had it. You knew people that have had it, people in your family that have had it. You didn't know if they were going to live, they were going to die. God was faithful. He raised them up. We made God promises. And let me tell you something. God knows whether you're going to keep them or you're not. Don't let your change be just for a few weeks. This is not a really bad life to live. When I don't understand that He just wants to guide my life. He wants to direct me. He wants to show me who is that individual is to be my spouse. So I stop making wrong choices at choosing people who in the end I regret that I've chosen. Or I jumped out too soon and made bills that I didn't have to. Or I thought that I was going to work in my job forever. And here I'm not sure. I'm just so sure that life is going to go on. I'm here to tell you, life is not going to be like it was before we came in here. And we have no idea what it's going to be like in these next few months. But I'm saying to you, it's time now to really make a commitment to God. You come to the house of God to learn how to live, not just for a emotional high, but to learn how to live. And God wants to change us. So let's just go over it just for a few minutes. God speaks to us through the Bible. and by promptings of his Holy Spirit. But if he can't get our attention, then guess what? He set this so people, and even in all of this, there's still some folk that are hard-hearted. The Bible says that we should be humble, and the Holy Spirit causes us and talks to us about being humble. But then if God can't get us to yield, and I don't know why, guess what ends up happening? God uses our circumstances in our lives for growth. So again, he uses his word, he uses his spirit, and he uses our circumstances. All of this God uses in order for me to come to know him, and that my life becomes that life like a light sitting on a hill. I'm hoping today you got what God's part is in changing my life. When we come together again, I'm going to tell you what your part is, because the two have to work together for you to become all that God wants you to be. I'm so glad that you took the time to sit down and listen to us today. And may God continue to bless you. Let us pray. If you have not accepted Christ, I gave you the scripture, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I'm asking you to make a commitment today that he become your Lord. Lordship is going to take time. It's not going to happen immediately. But remember this, if you don't come and get taught what righteous living is about, and it's not about your dress, it ain't what you take off, it ain't how long your dress is, it's not how much makeup you take off, all of those things don't make you what God is calling for that. If that be the case, then everybody that walked around looked like that, we say they're children of God, and you know that that is not always the case. But I'm saying to you today, but if you want to start the process, that's accepting him, believing that Jesus was the Son of God, believing he died on Calvary, not for just the world, but particularly for you. The Bible said, thou will be saved. Then you've got to come and learn of him, learn what the saved life is. And can I tell you, you're not going to get there overnight. It's not going to happen 1, 2, 3. But this process is a process that will bring you into freedom, joy, happiness, and even in long suffering, you'll have peace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for everyone that has listened to this message today. And I pray that we will allow you and realize that you use many things to cause us to be what you have called, want us to be in this world. Bless each one. Let this day be a glorious day, a day when our eyes have become even the more open that we may walk this life in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you and have a wonderful day.